The following message by Dexter Ekpe is brought to you by Bridgeway Gospel Center. For more information, visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at bridgewaygc.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I must, first of all, apologize that I've not learned to comport myself like a senior pastor should, because I've been a handyman all my life. That is only what I know how to do, to fix things. And it comes to me naturally. So it is impossible to be at a place where things are not going right, especially things that I know I do, and I let it that way. As a matter of fact, when I visit churches or go for events and I see things not going right, I'm usually halfway going to fix it before realizing that, Baba, secrets you carry, they don't know who you are. Why? Fixing things come naturally to me. So, but I will grow with time. I will learn to concentrate. But till then, thankfully, you grew from being a family to being a couple. Yeah, I told you, fixing things. So, sorry. You go from being a family to being more of a corporate church. Not corporate in terms of demeanor, but in terms of having the administration where people can sit down. So for now, it's a family. So when you come to a family, see something's not going right, you fix it and there's no fuss about it. Like if I go to my house now and the shoes are outside, and what I do is I pick it up, put it where it should be, and there's no fuss about it because it's a family. So that's what this is about this morning. Amen. My name is Dexter. I'm lead pastor of the Bridgeway Gospel Center, and thank you for coming here this morning. I'm not going to preach as it were. I'll just share a few thoughts and more of an instruction, and it's for you church members, not Bridgeway Gospel members, church members generally. The biggest problem that modern day Christianity, especially Pentecostal Christianity, has is an unhealthy shift of attention from the church members to the pastor. I use the word unhealthy because there are appropriate measures for everything to be done. But when you have an excessive move of attention from the pew, from the church members to the pastor, where you concentrate every attention on the pastor, you will have not just an unhealthy church, but a deadly, lethal church. I don't bear the title of an apostle, but I have an apostolic calling. And as I grow, I'll grow into the boldness to say things the way God has asked me to say them. But as a young man in the ministry, sometimes I'll have that caution. It's not because God is asking me to be cautious, but just because I'm trying to understand this whole new move. A small aeroplane can sit 9 people. A big one, maybe 300 people. Massive contraption. And everything in that aeroplane is controlled by one man or 3 men. Captain, first flight officer, flight engineer, as it were. And these 3 to 5 men are sitting in one small cubicle, the smallest part of what you see fly across continent. Who says that all that makes the plane fly is in that small cubicle? So how do we think, as a church, we can move everything that matters from the massive space into a small cubicle and think that without a small cubicle, everything goes down? Where is the engine? In the cockpit. Where is the engine? In the cockpit. Is the engine in the cockpit of a plane? In most planes, the engines are at the end of the fuselage.
So, in spiritual things, prominence and significance is not always equal to importance. So what happens is that when you shift every attention unhealthily to the cockpit, first of all, you bring about an imbalance that can crash everything you are doing. When you fly small planes, especially the turboprops, they'll tell you when you have very few passengers that the pilot has asked that you balance the load. So when we move everybody into the cockpit, you have an imbalance. So the first thing you have seen is an imbalance in churches. Why? Every attention is unfortunately inside the cockpit on the pastor. So what we're breeding is pop star pastors. Because the truth is that human attention is dangerous. What did I say? Human attention is deadly. If you are doing anything of significance, avoid excessive human attention. It will kill you. It will mutate you. Two professions I like most is aviation and medicine. So when I teach, my analogies and anecdotes come from aviation and medicine. There is a slim line between nutrition and toxification. Nutrition is good. Toxification is bad. The same thing that nourishes can toxicate or become toxic if it's taken in excess proportion or taken beyond when it is proper. Human attention is nice. It can encourage. But when it's above proportion, you bring about a mutation into something that never existed. So you see pastors who were called of God who have mutated into something that never existed. God never designed for human attention. This is not the most important part of a church. It is an important part. But there is no single most important part of a church. Because a church is an aeroplane. The pilot sits in the cockpit, howbeit the smallest part of the plane. And oftentimes, the engine is not here. Did you hear what I said? Oftentimes in churches, the engine that drives a church is not here. Because there is no plane that has the engine inside the cockpit. Then there is a small gadget just under the flight deck that is called the angle of attack. Something very small. Go check some of these things out. We had these three dangerous crashes of that famous aircraft series. After the last one, the Ethiopian airline, it was grounded, still grounded to today. It's that small thing. It's less than 4 inches or 5 inches long. Called the angle of attack. That's what tells the plane when it should have balance. So if that thing is reading the arrow, it will tell the plane that you are too, that your nose is too high, whereas the nose is proper. So in order to counter the thought that the nose is too high, it now tilts the nose down. So you have those three crashes because of one small piece. Why? All the attention was in the cockpit, whereas what crashed the plane was a 5-inch piece of metal. I love the brain. I love the spinal cord. I love the heart. But what gives a human balance is neither of these, is your ear. So if your ear has a problem, you can't stand well. You can't stand like this. Standing on one leg, why? Because my ear is balancing the weight of my body. Why am I going with this? Why am I going with this? You don't choose a church where you belong. You are called a planting of God. God plants you in families. You can't just stand up and leave. So my first announcement is thank you for coming. Next Sunday, go back to your churches. Unless God is planting you here. Did you hear what I said? Thank you for coming to show solidarity. Next Sunday, go back to where God has planted you. Unless you are sure God is planting you here. Because no tree wakes up in the morning and says, I'm tired of being planted on Summit Road. I want to move to Anwai Road. See, spiritual things are deduced from natural things. We are called plantings of God. And our planter chooses where he plants us. When it says you are supposed to be transplanted, you don't argue. When it says you are not moving, you stay where you are.
So when God says your time somewhere is up, and you stay there, you start being malnourished and you start suffering toxification. But if God says your time is not up and you move, you're on your own. Why? Because the pew is as important as the pulpit. A church with the wrong mix of membership will not do anything good to anybody. Let me read the Bible so you know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. Ephesians 4 verse 16. The way I read the Bible is I read from different translations. That avoids errors. Because when you read from one translation, you can take things out of proportion and then you suffer errors. Just one scripture and I'll say a few things and that'll be it. I read from King James Version first, the New King James Version. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Let me break it down. Number one, it says the first thing that the body is joined together. Number two, that every joint has what it should supply. Number three, from that supply, there's effective working of the body because every part is doing its share. Then there is growth. It means there is no growth of anybody. I mean any church body, any physical organism, or any corporate organism, if there is one part not supplying what it should supply. Did I mention any particular body part of the body here? Did I say the brain or the heart? They say it is when every joint, every part locates, first of all, use the word joint. Because the joint on the shoulder cannot fit to the joint on the knee. So the first thing is understanding positioning. The joint on your shoulder, no matter how you try, there are body parts that if there's an emergency, you can take out from your intestinal tract and now form something for the bladder. We have friends who had failed bladders, and so they had a surgery that took from the intestine, then did something for the bladder. But even that woman suffered sepsis for a long time. Why? Because the intestine is a very dirty place. The blood, on the other hand, is a very critical place. So because of the mass of bacteria that the intestine is used to, it didn't function so well as being an adapted bladder over time. But it worked after all. But you can't take the shoulder and put in the knee. So the first thing is about joints. And joints have sockets that are made for specific use and specific positions. So the first is that every joint is fitted together. Then number two, every joint supplies something only that joint can supply. Then it is when there is location by positioning, then there is function, and then fulfilling responsibility that the body grows. So if you think that a church is about the splendiferousness of physical infrastructure or how eloquent a pastor is, you are sorely mistaken. You would again create another monster of a pop star pastor and having ill-fitted church members. And so there is no growth in the body. People are planted in families. Nobody here chose the family where they will be born. If you couldn't do that physically, how do you think you're going to do that spiritually? Wake up and just move to any church and say, yeah, I want to belong to this church because I like the face of the pastor, or I like the way the building is, or it's a big church, or it's a small church. No, don't be mistaken. Big churches are not carnal. Small churches are not spiritual. No, don't be mistaken. You can have a very spiritual big church and a very carnal, bitter, backward small church full of people who were bitter from where they are coming from. Bitter people coming together to form a new empire because they were robbed off of their rights to their former empire. Madness everywhere. You thought I left all I was doing to come and start a ministry to replicate the same madness? You don't know me. A few who do understood that I had something decent doing. This is the last thing I wanted to do in my life. So anybody who thinks Dexter has come to pull members is solely ignorant and unfortunately mistaken. I was called to do this before I was born. That's why I say eternity is set in our heart. And what I've called to do predates me. It was here before I came. It will be here long after I'm gone. It's a marathon without an end. I can only finish my beat and hand it to somebody else and walk away. You might not be a pastor, but as a member of a body, you are called to a definite purpose in anybody that God has planted you into. The Bible says that we are trees of righteousness, the plantings of God. The word righteousness in the Bible has two connotations. Number one is having appearing before God through the eyes of Christ. That's being faultless because of what Christ has done. That's number one. Number two is right fitting. Right things, right times, right proportions. When the Bible says the only righteous rule, the people are happy, it's not talking about Christians. No. That scripture had nothing to do with Christians. I've seen terrible Christian politicians and I've seen wonderful pagan politicians. Righteousness means understanding what you should do at every time and doing it. So when a righteous politician knows how to bring about good policies, people are happy. That's what it means. That's what that scripture means. So we are trees of righteousness, plantings of God. The first thing about a righteous tree is that you're in the right place. Not talking about inherent goodness as a moral rectitude. No. Being in the right place, understanding the right function and going about it. Very important we understand what these things are about. So the proof that God sent you to a place is that, number one, that you have to be planted in the family. And you can't choose the family where you're planted in. God does that by predestination. So I'd like to adjure you. If there is a move in your heart to belong to this church, be sure that God planted you here. Because what God, there are spaces in front. Let them fill it up, please. What God is interested in is not transplanting people. Is expanding the kingdom. I was speaking with my... You're welcome, sir. I was speaking with my big brother. He doesn't like me calling him my landlord, so he's not my landlord, he's my big brother. But you know what it is already. And I told him that you have quite a few businesses and you've opened different branches. Was there any time when, in a bid to open a new branch, you moved everything from one branch to the other branch? Does it happen? If you do that, do you have two shops? How many shops do you have? One shop and one empty space. Why do you think that God, in trying to expand the kingdom, will have to move people from one shop to another shop and kill the first shop? Don't you see there's something wrong with how we think? Yes, you can move a few staff to go strengthen the new place. But the idea that the kingdom is expanding is that there are new people who were never called, maybe, who never knew God, who were lost, or who were being malnourished where they were. So God brings them in a new place, then brings new people. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, 27 or something, it says, first of all, that the people had this favor and respect in their community. Number two, that they were all filled with praise, praising God every day. Number three, that every day God was adding to their numbers daily, those that were being saved. That is the real way kingdom expands. Not that somebody leaves a house on the rock and goes to a new place and packs the whole of our house in the rock. There has not been kingdom expansion. You only have transplanting. One shop closes, another shop opens. There is no expansion that way. It's no expansion that way. So you don't choose the church where you want to go to. You are a planting of God. Trees don't choose where they are planted. The planter plants them. So you must be sure God is planting you here. If you are coming back next week. Otherwise, my father was a pastor. He pastored a church of seven people. Himself, my mother, and all his or a few of his children who were available at the time. This is not about pomp and pageantry. It's not a pop star business. I didn't leave everything to go and start a church just to be another pop star pastor. You should not make the same mistake. Because if I'm not called to be your pastor and you're not called to be my member, we'll come together, destroy ourselves, frustrate everything, and there will be one extra toxic church on the earth, failing heaven. First thing you do when you belong to a family is that you enjoy the privileges and blessings of the house. You do what? Enjoy the privileges and the blessings of the house. There are names that confer privileges. That is why most women don't change or don't do away with their father's names. Why? The name in itself confers privileges. If you are an Obasanjo, before they even ask you who you are, they first of all step back. Why? The name has significance. It's a privilege attached to being in that family. So when God plants you in a family, number one is that you enjoy privileges and blessings accrued to those who are planted in that family. We try to be as kind and as nice as possible. But at best, when somebody visits our house, they'll leave after some time. When the chips are down, I want to know who are those who are real children in this house. It doesn't matter how hard things become. Eh? I'll reserve at least the last food for my three sons. If I have somebody who visits and I was being magnanimous, when it tithes well, I'm thinking if it's that I can do that. But let's just even be human. When it tithes, well, tell him, please go back to your father's house. He get as he be now. When he settle, you can come back. Why? Because there are three boys in that house who, no matter how bad it gets, they were planted there. And they had the right to the privileges and blessings in that house. See, if you belong to a church where you are not planted, when the chips are down, you will see those who are planted enjoying. But something will tell you, you're not really there here. Go look for where you are planted, because God sends allocations to people who are planted in families. Don't go to a church out of excitement. This is not a club. I'm not looking for fan base. You love Dexter. Keep it at that. High five me on the street. Before you call me as a member, be sure you are planted. Don't joke with your destiny. Don't patronize me with your membership. I have staff. I have never invited any of them to come to my church. One of them is here. One of my oldest staff, sitting in front of me. She worships in Winner's Chapel. She worked with me for a long time. I never once invited her to my church, because church is not about sentiment. If God hasn't planted you in my church and you come because I'm a nice boss, you'll be pandering with things of destiny. Oh, he thought I was coming to tell you, next, I want to see you next. I don't want to see you next Sunday unless God has sent you to come here. It's a hard job being a pastor already. Don't make it more difficult by being a wrong member. Number two, when you're planted in a place, you submit to the disciplines of the father in the house. You should be a son, not a bastard. You know who a bastard is? When they cannot ascribe the character of the house, so you say, this man, don't be like saying that your papa be. He's just an inborn you, because you're not behaving like the character of the house. And it is discipline that makes sons. Bastards are spoiled. Sons are disciplined. And the Bible says that when discipline is coming, at that time it's not sweet. But it works in the air, and the peaceable fruit of righteousness, it aligns you well. Number three, if you are planted, you take responsibilities in the house. So if I come to my house now, and the TV is bad, after 2 weeks, I can't say, why the TV? No, they work for this house. Ooh, why? I belong to the house. Even if you visit your father's house now, and the TV has been bad for 2 months, and you just visited, you're not saying, daddy, now, wow, the TV for this your house, no, they work. Yeah, your house? What you do is you take responsibility, because you live in the house. Somebody was telling me yesterday what he did to a man who is his father figure. Not his like biological father, but the man played the role of father in his life. So he visited the man's house, and the kitchen cabinet was in a mess. He didn't ask questions. Because sit at home or feel at home doesn't only mean enjoy privileges. It means also take responsibility. Yes, so feel at home has two heads. Number one is enjoy privilege. Number two is take responsibility. So he came to a man who was a father in his life, and he felt at home. And the kitchen cabinets were bad. and he's spending over $1 million fixing the kitchen cabinet. Why? He has come to his father's house. Number three things, you take responsibility in a house where you are planted. So just like you can't pack your bag and say, I'm tired of being a son of Ekpe, I want to now become a son of Luashem Yusuf. You can do that if you're a baby, child. Yeah? Have your children follow you to somewhere and say, Daddy, I don't want to go home. I want to. I like this place. They are children. It's permissible. But if at 25 you do that, something's wrong with you. You can't just pack your bag and say, I don't like to be an Ekpe son anymore, a Dexter son. I want to now go and become an Oluwaseun son. No. No matter how much I love him, I can't be his son. I wasn't planted. These things are beyond my decision. Beyond my whims and caprices. Beyond my move of sentiments. No, it's a planting thing. Finally, I told you today's not a day of long preaching. There are three people that God punishes in the church. Sorry, I'm sounding this way. Three people that God will punish in a church. Like I say, colloquially, those who are, I'm a very jovial and very, very mischievous person. So if I want to be in my jovial, mischievous mood, I'll say there are three people that thunder or fire in a church. I'm not saying it in any serious way. It's just me joking. So don't say that pastor started his church by bringing down thunder. No. And thunder from Obiaruku. Even from Obiaruku, yeah, I'm not against where you come from. Jude has just one chapter. I'll read three verses, 4, 5, and 6. Number one, there are certain people who have crept into the church unnoticed, like they're sneaking from the back door. Says the ungodly people whose condemnation are predicted long ago, because they distort the grace of God into decadence and immoral freedom. They view the opportunity of being in Christ as an opportunity to do whatever they want. It says they deny and disown Christ the Master. These are the first people that God would punish. Those who sneak in. You know you're an unbeliever. Yes, the church is meant for unbelievers to come and change. We come the way we are. We don't remain the way we are. So you sneak in from the back door. You come to cause mischief. And you come and you're now abusing the grace of God in the church. There's a punishment that is waiting for you. Number 2, verse 5. It says, I want to remind you, although you are fully informed that the Lord, after saving the people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently he destroyed those who did not believe, those who refused to trust and obey and rely on him. Anybody in church who has not put his whole trust in God, who doesn't believe in the doctrine, and I don't mean the style of the church. Churches have style. That's not doctrine. The doctrine of the church is universal. That Jesus is the only Son of God and died for the remission of our sin and given us grace to live a life of righteousness. You are in the church and you abuse that grace and misbehave by so showing unbelief to what God has done. The Bible says, woe to a man who doesn't put his trust in God. Number 2. Number 3, verse 6, says, and angels who did not keep their own designation or their place of power but abandoned it and moved to somewhere else. Anybody who leaves his place of calling, of assignment, and for frivolous reasons, moves to somewhere else. When you abandon what God has called you to do in the place, and you are pandering, like the Bible would say, moved and tossed with every wind of doctrine. There's a problem with it. That is all I have to say today.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Bridgeway Gospel Center, 33 Anwai Road, Asaba, Sundays 9 a.m. and Fridays 5:30 p.m. You can visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Bridgeway GC. God bless you.